Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake, and you're about to get jumped. Welcome to episode 168 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Yu Yu Hakusho episodes 68 through 71, where it's getting hot in here. Laughter really is the best offense, and Kuwabara has a punchable face.
You ever seen those people that you think to yourself, I could really punch him straight in his face? And then you think to yourself, no, I shouldn't, because it's against social norms. But then they say something even dumber, and you're like, well, social norms be damned. Kuwabara wants all social norms to be damned, and that's his jam all the time. So let's all agree that today, the day of our Lord, August 18th, 2021, will go down as Kuwabara Punch in the Face Day, and it will be that from years going forward. So if everybody can begin by celebrating, bring out your Kuwabara full-size live-action figure and punch him in the face, if you have one.
Thank you.
Anyways, let's jump in. So hey,
for
everybody.
The cure.
Hey, so we are gonna basically be jumping straight over. Good Lord, I don't know what's happening to you right now.
I have two things. I have two newses. I can do these real fast.
Okay, go.
So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I think part six. Stone Ocean has a release date on Netflix for December 21st. Not December 21st, December of 21. So JoJo's fans, get excited. I think this is the first JoJo's Bizarre Adventure with a female JoJo. I have heard that this one is good, but we had also heard that Stardust Crusaders was good, and I don't think that that's true. So we'll see, but if you're a JoJo fan, Stone Ocean's coming out and soon. Also, there was a Pokemon Direct today. That's Wednesday the 18th, so a couple days ago, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. And that had some new information, a little bit of new information for Pokemon Unite, including some previously unannounced new characters coming to the game. They're doing something with Cafe Remix, which it was up until now called Cafe Mix. There's a little bit more information for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and there's some very exciting new information, particularly some new Pokemon coming in the Legends Arceus game. So it's all good stuff, but especially the Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and Legends Arceus stuff is particularly important. And then, you know, if you're playing Unite, check that stuff out. And also, if you're playing Unite, friend me so we can play together, because I really like that game.
Also, if you're interested, Shaman King is out, so watch Shaman King. It's great.
Have you been watching it?
I've watched the first two episodes, and it is, number one, better than the original. Number two, it is also very reminiscent of the original, so you have good nostalgia vibes, so it's kind of the best of both worlds with it.
It's less of a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, where they're doing things differently and not repeating the same steps, as much as it is a Hunter x Hunter 2011. Is that right?
Yeah, it's way more like that.
Cool. I'm excited.
But with all that being said, let's go ahead and find out what happened previously on Yu Yu Hakusho.
Let me tell ya, there's a guy named Yusuke Urameshi, and he was killed. And then he was killed doing a good deed, and the underworld was like, we thought you were worse than this, and now we don't know what to do with you. So they gave him the opportunity to come back to life, and when he did come back to life, he had special powers, and now he can see spirits and demons and all kinds of stuff. And the underworld is like, hey, you are now perfect for our underworld detective, and we're going to send you on different missions. And that's what they've been doing. Yusuke recently participated in something called a Dark Tournament, which was a big hullabaloo in the demon world, in which he became much, much, much stronger and won the Dark Tournament. And now they came home and they met some new strange opponents with new and strange enemies. But Yusuke is not doing this alone. He is assisted by a woman named Botan, who is a spirit, an agent of the afterlife who helps ferry souls to the afterlife and has become sort of a liaison between what the afterlife wants him to do and tells Yusuke how to do that. And then, you know, sometimes helps him out with some special tools. There is also his longtime frenemy, Kuwabara, who we mentioned in the intro. Kuwabara also develops spiritual powers and can basically make a lightsaber. Yusuke's spiritual powers essentially let him enrich his own power and fire it out in a blast that he calls a spirit gun. We've also made some friends with some demons along the way. One of those is Kurama, who's actually just a half demon. And he has the ability to control demonic plants. And he also has a fully demon side, although we won't get to see that today. Then there's Hiei, who's very much the Vegeta of this show. He's got this sort of grouchy personality. He's got the chip on his shoulder. He's got the level of resentment toward Yusuke. And despite all of that, he tends to end up fighting on a team with Yusuke and the rest of them. Hiei has a specialty called the Jigan Eye that allows him to open up extra eyes on his body and enhance his abilities. He also utilizes a black fire technique. Finally, there's Genkai. Genkai was Yusuke's trainer. I think she also helped train Kuwabara. She was a very famous... she's very famous in the spirit world or in the world of spirit detectives and people who know about those kinds of things because she developed a really powerful technique and she was sort of a renowned teacher. She's also a bit of a curmudgeon, so she had a tournament a long time ago to find her successor, and Yusuke was the guy who became the successor at the end of that tournament. She taught him basically everything he knows and everything she knows. She transferred her energy to him during the Dark Tournament and then was killed. But when they won the Dark Tournament, they used their winnings to wish her back to life. During the Dark Tournament, one of the big mean humans who was helping to facilitate it wanted to create a tunnel to the demon world, I guess just because he was chaotic evil. I don't remember if he had a specific goal. I think he just wanted chaos to reign. But he decided that because he had lost the Dark Tournament, he was going to kill himself and take his tunnel-making machine with him. And maybe that did not work as well as he thought, and we'll find out more about that later. But first, episode 68.
Episode 68 is called Setting the Trap, and this begins with all of our other characters other than Yusuke going to get Yusuke from the trapped place where he is.
I literally forgot to say he was kidnapped in the last episode, which is the most relevant thing, so I'm doing great.
Yeah, so because he was kidnapped, basically the only thing that they're going to be able to do is they're going to have to go underneath the guises of whatever the people that are kidnapping are. They're going to have to give him, I guess, his their what would it be, the ransom? But I mean, I wouldn't say that it would be a ransom, because it's more like it's more like, come to our evil house and we'll do evil things to you evilly.
Yeah, it's not a ransom, although it does have the same hallmarks. It's just they were like, hey, we're going to fuck him up unless you come and specifically with these people. So they're not asking for, you know, I guess usually you think of a ransom as like, give me something or give me money. And mm-hmm. instead they're like, give me some time to spend with you.
And it's just like, come alone, but also bring these people. It's a little bit different than a normal stakeout sort of.
They were taking ransom notes 101. They did not get to advanced ransom noting. And this is what you get when you're only halfway through, you know?
Yeah, I think the most hilarious thing that happens, though, is that so they go in and they find out that you are fighting against these characters. And one of these characters is named Kaito. He is a super smart guy that is also in class with Kurama's human alter ego self. And this guy is just like, hey, in my domain, you lose if you say the taboo word, which is hot. Hiei is basically full Hiei. He's just like, yeah, fuck you, I'm gonna say hot. And then he loses his soul.
It's so good. It's such a good character thing, because you're like, he would do that, I think. This is so interesting, and we're going to get a fuller explanation of this before we're done talking today. But basically, his powers are weird, and what we're going to start seeing as our heroes take on this challenge is that they're very, very, very strong, and that maybe doesn't matter against certain ability sets, and I really, really like this. So... He says hot. There's another thing. Oh, there's a prohibition against violence. Mm-hmm. So you see this, I think, relatively quickly. They get locked into this room, and then Kaito is there, and he's like, I'm in charge, and these are the rules. And they're like, well, if we knock you out, then your zone will fade, and you know, these rules will no longer apply to us. And he's like, yeah, but there's no violence in my zone, so you can't knock me out. And they sort of test this theory, and they aren't turned to stone like when you say the word hot, but they do get repelled by like an energy, like whatever it is about this ability. He really does seem to be in charge of the rules in this zone, and that's super fascinating. Mm-hmm. So he is down, and the other ones are Kurama, Kuwabara. I mistyped there. It's Kurama and Kuwabara and Botan, who is usually not along on these things, but here she is today. Mm-hmm. I guess that's pretty much everything that happens in 68, right? The thing that happens with Kurama or with Kuwabara is in 69. Everything else you need to know from 68 is that Kurama is like, well, I am a witty boy, and I will take on you in this battle of wits.
He's like, I will wit wittily, and he's just like, wit wittily, you say? Who's wit wittily? So that takes us into episode 69, The Power of Taboo, where two dumb people, Kuwabara and Botan, are going to have just like a straight up conversation, trying not to say the word hot, because they're like, that's the only way that we're going to get screwed, is if we say exactly hot. But it turns out that if you say two words that make the word hot right next to each other, you will also be screwed. And
yeah,
the dumbest way that this happened is that Botan's like, he didn't even say hot. And then she's like, shit.
Yeah, it's so good. But what's great about the Kuwabara gets got before Botan does that, and it's because he's talking to Botan, and he says something about how he uses the words each other, and each ends with an H and other begins with an OT, and that is technically hot under the rules of this room, and they find that out when he turns to stone at the end of his sentence, and that's when Botan is like, but I, whoops, and then she turns to stone, and now Kurama is the only one left in the room, but Kurama is down with nonviolence because he can grow sneaky little plants, and he uses those sneaky little plants to take the key from the guy who has the key so that they can get out of the room. And instead of leaving the room, he's like, Kaito, I accept your challenge, and I raise you a different challenge in which, and this is different in the Japanese version, I think, because there are... So here are the rules in the dub, which I'm assuming you watch the dub, right, Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also, as well, in addition, watched the dub. And the dub is very good. You should watch the dub if you like the dub. But you'll notice the rules of the game, as stated, are we will be able to speak to each other normally, but every, I think, 2 minutes, one letter of the alphabet will become forbidden. And if we say a word, or I think make a sound that would utilize that letter, we are out. And not only, instead of being turned to stone, we will forfeit our souls. Because I think Kaito at some point pulls the souls out of the stonified people. And that really gets Kurama's attention. But whatever. They are going to work backwards from Z. So A will be the last letter allowed. Except if you're watching the show and not just listening, you will see Japanese letters that that pop up and that have different sounds that would generally not match with a single letter of our alphabet. And so I don't know exactly how this works in the original subbed version. So your rules are probably slightly different, but suffice it to say, we are taking the basic building blocks of making all the sounds of our language, and we are removing one of those sound options every couple of minutes, and that's the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically straightforward what they're having to do. Karama, by the way that he knocks this person out, the one of the people to get the key, he doesn't knock him out first. He sneaks the key out of his pocket with a plant. And then the next thing that happens is that he grows a shit ton of plants inside of the room.
Kaito takes a bathroom break for no reason.
Yep.
I'm like, you couldn't hold it for an hour.
Yeah.
I think it's a power move, mm-hmm. but it's a mistake.
Yeah. The mistake was had. The reason that he needed to take a bathroom break is very plot specific, though, because Kurama needed time in order to grow his planty plants. And all of these planty plants, they are filling the room up completely, and it makes it very difficult for Kaito to figure out where Kurama is. And so they're going to have this conversation, and slowly, because of all of this additional plant growth that's happened inside of the room, Kaito is going to be like, well, maybe I should just make sure that I'm not going to make any sounds, because he's going to try to make me make sounds of some kind, and I don't know where he's going to come from. And so I just need to make sure that I'm not going to get screwed here. But the thing that's so funny about this is that obviously Kurama is going to like try to make you make sounds in some way, and you know that Kurama is like very dangerous, so why would you come into the room? The only reason I can think is because of what's going to happen later on, and that he's being like forced to be a good sport, but that's the only reason I can think plot wise other than his like hubris.
I think there's some of that. I think Kurama is down to play the game. I think Kurama rightly believes very highly in his own wittiness. And so he thinks that he can win this game under these rules. He thinks that he can outsmart this guy. So I think there's definitely an aspect of that. But there was also an aspect while I was watching it where I was like, you know, I think Kurama could probably grow about like 8 plants that would kill this dude nonviolently at minimum. Mm-hmm. Like he could probably get them out of the situation in a litany of ways, but he's doing this one. But it definitely does seem like it's skirting the line of like that thing from Bleach, which if you're not a patron, you don't know about this. But you, if you are a patron, you can listen to us talk about Bleach. That's on our Patreon page. Mm-hmm. When we talked about Bleach most recently, we talked about how dumb it is and frustrating it is sometimes in anime when characters that are fighting a losing battle have their allies that could help them standing on the sidelines. But the allies are like, if we help him, his pride will be bruised. And in that case, we have to let him fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of that, I think. But yeah, Kurama has a lot of pride in his own mental abilities. And, you know, he turns out to be right because he makes a silly face and Kaito laughs. And the, you know, onomatopoeia for laughter involves letters, and he's fucked. And so he gets turned into a spirit boy, and all the other spirits get returned to their bodies, and their bodies get made not stone anymore, and our four heroes are able to proceed into episode 70.
Mm-hmm. Episode 70, the worst named of all of the episodes, is called Genkai's Ruse. Yeah, the
spoilery name.
Yeah, the spoileries of spoilery names. It
doesn't help also that the coming on the next episode is also spoilery. I was like, let me experience it.
Yeah. So there's the next guy that's going to be coming up. He uses the
what's ability, his name?
His name is Yangasawa. I hate you so much right now.
So mote it be.
Oh God, I just. I'm so angry that you're just like, I know that he can't say this. So it turns out that they're going to use, he uses this ability, I guess in strictest terms, the ability gives you the, I don't know what I say ability too many times, but it's, you're able to walk through and create, I guess, these big tunnels. And
is the tunnel his ability?
I think so. It definitely feels like that's his ability.
That's a really good question. What's the ability of the last guy? Is the last guy making the tunnel? So I thought that Yanagisawa was doing... I thought he was the guy that was doing the perfect copy.
Maybe. They might have two abilities.
Oh, no, the last guy has the shadow step thing. Who made the tunnel?
Yeah, that's... it turns out it was probably Genkai. But...
yeah, probably.
So what happens inside of this tunnel, though, is that they all walk through the tunnels, then they all come to the top of the tunnels. They're all walking through different kinds of tunnels. Some of them are, Escher mazes, which is Hiei's, and some of them are, I guess, more straightforward. But the big problem here is that when they get there, they realize that one of the people is a imposter, and the only reason why they know this is because they are told that there is an imposter among them, and they had these little stick-on...
Somebody here is sus.
Yeah, they had these little stick-on things that are their names so that they know when they can, if somebody didn't make it up there.
Yeah, they have magical name tags, and so, yeah, they get these magical name tags, and they do this before they go into the stairway tunnels. And I was like, oh, this is a really fun plot device because they're special tools that were brought by Botan from the afterlife. And you can attach them to somebody and they will then change color. They're like a mood ring for the person that attached it to you. So they can show you if they are doing okay, if they are injured, if they have been killed, that kind of thing. So it's kind of a cool way to keep track of each other before they split up. And they also write their names on them so that they can keep track of everybody. It's a group of four. So each of them is wearing the three name tags of the other three people in the group. And the other special thing is that if you are not the person who applied this name tag sticker, you cannot remove it. It can only be removed by that person. And it is based on your sort of like intrinsic, unique spiritual fingerprint. So then they get up here to this game where it turns out that one of them in their secret tunnels got replaced by a perfect copy. And that copy is wearing the name tags. And Botan's like, oh, great. The name tags have this special ability that you can't take them off if you aren't the one that put them on. So everybody take your name tag off of somebody else, and they all do it. And I was just like, oh man, come on. Like it's still a good setup because the setup is about how good this guy's copy power is rather than the one thing that he couldn't account for. But I really would have preferred it being the one thing he couldn't account for. I was hoping this was what gave him up, and it is not.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed.
It turns out the only thing that is going to give it away when Yusuke is freed is that Yusuke just, if given the opportunity, will always choose to punch Kuwabara in the face. And so he does.
They make Yusuke. They're like, the only way out of this is if you full power punch one of your friends. And Yusuke chooses Kuwabara, and his explanation is gold.
He's just like, well, number one, I like punching Kuwabara in the face. Who doesn't?
Yeah, it is Kuwabara punch in the face day. So
it's our national pastime.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, he's like, Kuwabara and I have been in so many fights throughout our lives that Kuwabara is the most used to being punched in my face, in the face by me. So if I punch him, he's probably going to handle it better than any of the other people. And, if he's the imposter, then much the better. And he fucking is.
Yep. So that happens.
They're just like, how did you figure it out? And he's like, I just picked at random. Like, it's just nonsense. Then Genkai comes out, not that we could have seen this coming from the previews from last episode or the title of this episode, and is like, hey, these are not your enemies. Actually, they are my pupils because people are gaining psychic powers all of a sudden. And the thing that I wanted to teach you with this whole kidnapping ruse is that those powers, you guys are really strong. And you have become so strong that if you have to beat an opponent in a battle of strength, you're probably going to do okay. But not all of the battles you'll fight are about strength. You weren't able to fight your way out of the don't say this word conundrum. Yusuke was not able to fight his way out of being trapped by the guy who stepped on his shadow. And they weren't able to use combat. Well, although ironically it was solved by punching, but they weren't really able to fight their way out of figuring out who the imposter was. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you guys are strong, but that's not all you need to win. And this is genius. Because one of the challenges you see over and over again in anime is your characters get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then you either get the challenge, like the thing that comes up in Naruto, where Naruto gets so strong that nobody is a match for him except special characters created to be a match for him. And all of the other characters fall by the wayside. Or you get, I think this one would be more of a Dragon Ball problem, where characters are strong enough to take on the characters that have already been established to be stronger because they are said to be. And there's not really any differentiation necessarily between what they can do, but they are stronger because they are said to be stronger, and that is true. And here, Yu Yu Hakusho is deftly dodging around both of those problems, at least for right now. And they are creating a new way out, which is you can be as strong as you want, but some people can still beat you because of their strange powers. And I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a very good show. And then that takes us into episode 71, where we find out the bad things that have happening and the reason why these characters are suddenly developing these powers and the demon world is starting to get crazier and crazier. And that is that there is a tunnel that is being dug from the spirit world all the way up to the human world. And the reason that it is so dangerous and the thing that makes this show great and also infuriating was that the creator of the show was just like, I'm going to create a way to infinitely make more show. And the way that I do this is that there are levels of the demon world that just go further and deeper and deeper and deeper, basically forever. And the further you go down, the demons become more and more and more and more and more powerful. Apparently, Togoro wasn't really that powerful. And
yeah, he was like mid-tier.
Yeah, and he was like the most powerful person they fought by far so far. They're like, if this gets broken and they can break out, a single one of them coming to the regular world would destroy the regular world, and so we don't want that. And they were like, we only control the very top half of the first plane. And so I was like, oh god. So it's a really cool way to open it up. However, this show, if you can tell by the number of episodes and the fact that it is not currently an ongoing series like One Piece, ends. And it ends in a way that does not give you all of that. So it's like...
Oh, so they're writing checks they're not going to cash?
Yeah, it's very much like the Hunter x Hunter thing where he's just like, look at all these cool toys and I'm done.
They're strictly look-upons. Yeah, I see what you're saying. As somebody who does not know what happens and has never gotten this far in the series, I find it exciting, and I'm not necessarily... I am more excited by what I just talked about, by the idea that there will be some powers that will create interesting situations for our heroes that they won't be able to fight their way out of. I think that that's fun. I think that's a cool design space, and I think it really opens up the story in a story that felt like it had reached its final chapter and then still kept going. Mm-hmm. This gives me hope that the show will find a way to make the continuation interesting. And it has so far been very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as concerned about, like, to me, them saying there's tons of demons here doesn't necessarily mean that eventually we will see them. But just this is the degree of threat, although I do see where you're coming from. So I guess we'll find out how I feel about it once we reach the end.
Yeah. So the last thing that we see inside of this episode and our coverage for this week is that we meet our new villains. These villains, one of them is sitting down trying to create a tunnel, and the other one is just like, hey, there is a barrier and that is stopping me, and we need somebody who can create something that can cut the barrier. And I was like, who could it be? Whose whole thing is cutting? But anyways, with all that being said, we are at our end of coverage for this week, so stick with us after these credits, and we'll find out what's coming on next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind Podcast Network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Snow, owner and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind. We interrupt your awesome, regularly scheduled programming to ensure you're aware of the Geekly Grind podcast network, of which this show is a treasured member of. If you haven't had a chance to check out our site, you can do so at thegeeklygrind.com, and while you're there, take a look at the other members of our steadily growing podcast family, including the anime-centric Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, discovering new heroes on Comic Book Keepers with Chris and Lance, exploring the vast universe of geekdom with Geeksploration, or appreciating animation's finer details with JD's Ink and Paint Club. Escape your weekly grind at The Geekly Grind.
Next time on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood episodes 21 through 26.
Where Roy Mustang is that super mean dad from the 50s that's just like, don't you feel your feelings? Don't you? You eat them, and then you crush them, and then you push them further down inside of your body. And I swear to God, if you feel those feelings, I'm just going to be so mad at you right now. And these feelings of mad are not these feelings. I'm going to eat these feelings and push straight down, and everything is normal again.